I want to welcome members. I know that there's been quite a very hectic during our constituency order. The meeting is now started. So we have to do things very quickly. Therefore, the public hearings we're having today on film and publication, I think all of us are fully aware that this hearing started sometime late last year. These hearings were joint hearings on the issue of the Union Bill and the Film and Publication Bill, which ran concurrently throughout the country. Therefore, during the public hearings, it was very clear that most of you, obviously, who are here today, did not have an opportunity to interact during the public hearings that were held throughout the country. As we all know, that there's been a tradition that there are those always who will want to come and make, you know, thorough, detailed a presentation, which means the public hearings which were held in the public outside, it was going to be made either very difficult for you to really present a detailed a presentation. We took that into account quite seriously. But initially our intention was that we were going to have those hearings outside. When we come to Parliament, we then consolidate those hearings and move on with the bill. Deliberations and then to a point where the committee will then deliberate and sort of agree upon whatever that they would have picked up during those public hearings. But obviously, as a committee that is really committed in making sure that everybody, every stakeholder is given an opportunity to have a say at the end, we then agree that this year we then proceed again with this year. I know that there has been some engagement between the creatives and some of the stakeholders, in particular some of the other stakeholders, who have been raising already their concern about the bill itself. Now, one of the things that I think we should all of us recognize is that this bill is now before Parliament. I may not want to go back to an area where the interaction or discussion between government and Senate and other stakeholders that are taking place. I think we would not want to go there because that's beyond the line of operation. How normally the bill is brought before Parliament, the parliamentary procedure is laid out very, very, very clear in the Constitution again, that the creative will come with a proposed bill, will be tabled in Parliament, and Parliament through its committees will call for public hearings, and those public hearings will be deliberation, engagement to a point where the bill will be voted in by Parliament, and then comes law only when the President signs that bill. Just a shortcut procedure of how things are done with regards to legislation, passing of legislation. Now, this hearing, therefore, are meant to look at those critical areas that members of the public have raised. I want you to be assured, because I know that some of you already do not have confidence in Parliament, that Parliament will be able to pass this bill the manner in which it protects the freedom of speech and freedom of media and all of that. I know that you don't have that confidence, but I want to assure you that this Committee of Home Affairs, guided by the rules of the Constitution, will do exactly what it's supposed to do in making sure that freedom of expression, freedom of press is really recognized and defended. Because most of us sitting here, these freedoms that they're talking about, are freedoms that we fought for. Are not freedoms that just come from heaven. These are things that most members of this Parliament, and all of us in fact as members of Parliament, are freedoms that we defend at all times. But at the same time, it's very important to look at the rights of our children, protection of our children. Now, this engagement was structured in a way that as we engage we must not forget the challenge that we're trying to address. I know that I'm dealing with people who have gone through these things in decades. Therefore, there's no need for us to read the thing again to the closest to what is it that we want to amend. But it's very important that we must not forget that what Parliament now will try and understand and address is the challenge that we are facing on some of the issues that they've been sort of in outline. And help us, in fact, to arrive at the point that we'll get solutions together. I've asked Parliament to arrange a part of the public hearings which were held outside when we're moving the public hearings around the country, that they should have a play of the views from the public about this thing. Now, obviously, I don't know what's happening because Parliament itself sometimes is very, very disorganized soon. But with the intervention of the COO and Mr. Naman, I think we'll be able to get that what's called late during the day today. Just for you, because I know that most of you don't interact with the public, the manner in which we interact with the public ourselves. It's a wonderful office you see there, and rest for it. We engage the public. We are mandated by the public to be where we are today. So we carry that mandate, and we go back, we engage with them, they give us the mandate. I'm not saying you're not part of the public, you're part of the public today. But the manner in which we interact, I think it will be demonstrated today during the day, when you begin to understand the frustration that ordinary people are faced with, some of the things that we yourself do. One month address, not only the concern that comes from Parliament, the public that they have a particular authority on the but will they able to come up with solutions together with yourself. So, our input should be robust. Members will ask questions where they have questions, but feel free to raise anything on the feel free to raise anything that you want to raise, so that when you go out here, people must not say that we are not given an opportunity. We went to that committee, we are not given an opportunity, therefore, this government is now going to bring in censorship to all of these people, not to tell them this. What the world now is in South Africa, is bringing in censorship, which apartheid was better than what we are doing. People are beginning now to compare us again with what the apartheid government used to do. And what we are trying to do ourselves now, which is more than what the politicians are going to do. With your respect, I know that this freedom we're talking about today was much what we're dealing with. We're talking about these expressions and this freedom. I think that all of us really could raise that. Okay. Therefore, in our engagement then today, let us make sure that the robustness will be, let's make sure that the we are able to bring solutions to the problems that they should have answered. What a very strong argument here on the issues that they have just outlined. Therefore, we'll then give you an opportunity then to start with our presentation as the chair has already announced the changes to the program. So the first presenters will be the System Action Network, which will start already about 5 minutes late. We'll start now at 4 o'clock, and then they're giving about a 20 minutes presentation. I'm not sure if what is going to be from your presentation, but the vector is here. And I think, you don't need it. Okay. And then the document is being circulated out of this. Can we, I think all of us, we have the document members.
Good morning, Honourable Chairman, members of the committee, members of the media, members of the public.
What is that?
Thank you very much indeed for the opportunity that's presented. Chapter 2 of your presentation. Let me We fear that Clause 16.1 will open the floodgates and explain against the Muslims. If you knew you are doing the right thing, why should you appraise of the justice system? Because you're there to decide for everybody without favoring anyone. My second question, Chairperson. There is a statement which says that also applies since 1994 to the other listed category of offense. No charges related to the listed offense have been brought against the media since 1994. And the presenter said that the DA is contradicting himself because he's quoting section 34B, which introduced a new offense in our law requiring anyone who knows of traffic. Chapter 34B is there precisely because even that press ombudsman and the press counter. Many child pornography have been appearing on the newspaper. They don't complain, they just keep quiet. That's why chapter 24 is there for them to normalize the situation. It's not correct according to the old presenter. Thank you, Chairman.
I just wanted to raise this question of consultation because the merits of your presentation, I've got a problem with that, but because of the consultation, you made mention that there was no adequate consultation with over the minutes. That's not a cycle that you are for the party and want to know what is exactly that. And then you made contact one or so that kind of assessment that there wasn't good consultation, but isn't that based on a kind of Westminster understanding of Parliament. I mean, in the past, or maybe in the past, there was a one-on-one meeting with the executive, and then there was a deal on the table. But now, to be honest, people say the Parliament is not here, Robinson. I mean, there's a lot of criticism of Parliament, you know, except for Robinson. My question is, shouldn't that get back? Because the table starts here. And the people, for example, not in the terminal of the fishing farm. But there wasn't a reach out to the people from the organization to the respect of safety. The lobby was only when they said, so my question is, should it be a different approach?
Okay. I want to get the clarification from the department when in the bill itself they stated that this region is referred to a number of partners and other stakeholders. And just to understand these stakeholders that they contacted, it was not so normally what we find that we let them listed sometimes that these following bodies were contacted. So I think that's just a bad understanding. Point that we have to start by so that we raise them. Let's take the first one and then the other side will follow. The committee specializes in which part of the
start to start. Okay, thank you. Thank you,
Chair.
Thank you,
Thank you, Chair. You know, you said them saying that they are concerned about the Christian racism, I think, which is shared by the community. Then they have also said that they are against child pornography, but he doesn't want any form of control over that other than it seems to be a self-regulatory system, which he says has worked well in the past. And the problem is, if it's worked so well, how is it possible that this pornography is appearing? How does it come about? How does it there? And if they are serious in saying that we should, you know, do something about child pornography, what does the organization propose? In which way should we deal with this?
I
think
information without becoming labeled as a
that a cop is not, as it were, a police informer or an informer for the authorities. We need protection from Section 205. In the same way that journalists in Germany and in other countries, in one or two other countries of Europe and in many states in America, are protected from the provision of similar legislation. We say that journalists, not possibly in every case, but that in most cases, journalists have a just excuse not to disclose their confidential sources of information. And the extreme case would be that there would be no other means for the authorities to get the information and prosecute the crime. But that must be a last resort, remedy. But we should be very firm, and we have the talks with the Ministry of Safety and Security and the Ministry of Justice and have reached a memorandum of understanding on this issue as to how it should be dealt with. It's not by any means a perfect document, and in fact, we are not totally satisfied with the document. We would like to see if we can see it further amended. But in the meantime, it acts as a break on underlying official attempts to try and get hold of confirmation sources of information in terms. I think I've answered some of the problems, but I'll take my mind and one or two other things.
Attorney, I think a holiday in the Egyptian tower, was paging through the the amending legislation, and notice that section 23 and 23 were actually removed, and you remember that those were the second, those were the clauses which related to the newspapers and broadcast media being invented from the court. And it was only in that way that the council had knowledge that this was impending, and there was only a few days left for us as an institution, that is, the industry or such, to make representations. After that, we made a point of the consultation. We've had three meetings with the Department of Home Affairs. One was where we made a presentation to them on our submission, which we had sent to them beforehand, but we said they had that time to meet, and therefore we come back to us on the day. And then there was another meeting in Kandisa where they set up, the Home Affairs Department set up a task group to deal with this bill. There was no consultation, there was no discussion of the merits of the bill. And then there was another meeting in which a few of them marched this year with the Department of Home Affairs, where they gave us certain indications on what their thinking was. But it wasn't a consultation by any means. It was really an intimation of how the Home Affairs Department was thinking about the law. And I would say, sir, that's hardly consultation, and certainly not the consultation that is required to deal with these very serious matters.
Just in terms of just sort of meaning, your experience with regard to consultation, have you ever done with any of the bills that you have dealt with before with any department? Because it seems to me that there was this process, you even make a presentation, whatever, number of people. But your experience with regard to making a submission during the drafting of any bill, just share with the committee, just to understand, know how all of this.
Oh, we've never had consultation with the government department about the drafting of any other bill, because we haven't been as directly affected as we are by this bill. We've made representations to portfolio committees on other bills, and we've made submissions to the government department, but we've never been as directly affected as an institution by other legislation that you have in this sense. There was one bill that related to the conflict of Parliament and the conflict of Net Peace in Parliament, which had some clauses in it which we objected to as making inroads on freedom of the media to report what was going on in Parliament. But that was only one section of the bill, and there was in fact a consultation on that particular bill, which was conducted by that government department, and we made our suspicions there. But that was a consultation, not a portfolio committee. I've forgotten what that one is. And that was one where we were directly affected. That is, the political correspondence, the parliamentary correspondence, would have been directly affected. But I don't think that any of the other bills that we've objected to has affected us directly in the same way that this bill affects us. This goes right to the heart, the fundamental issue of a constitutional issue and free enterprise and the public interest.
And I'm fine with the, would definitely take into account all the points that you've mentioned. Now, if we are looking at the bill does not only address the issue of pornography. It gives the bill empowering the Criminal Prosecution Board, the Resuscitation Committee, and the Board itself, giving power to this so-called Criminal Prosecution Board to be able, you know, to discharge the issues and all of that. You're not looking at that address. You're only looking at the area that concerns you with freedom of the press. That's the only thing that you're looking at. As you say.
I think so. That is a fundamental issue.
Okay.
And we are utterly concerned with the fundamental issue of freedom of the press. So freedom of the press is not something that my colleagues here enjoy at that time, but of course it is in fact the freedom of every country in this country. It is the freedom of people in this country that is at stake there. Not just the people in the race. The people in the race are only the tip of the iceberg. Some freedom and being on the street.
But thank you very much. Okay, it's been wonderful day. Instead of chasing to the mission, where the truth we are to the mission, I think we'll take it up on some of the issues that you're raising. But on the issue of withdrawing the game, he back to the department, that is not happening. That's what you are saying. It's not going to happen now. The game is now because of me. And it has been with the committee for quite some time now. We decided to move on. But we take into account all the concerns that you're raising. And I would believe that the outcome will be consensus. With regard to issues that we do not see on the pornography distribution and shooting of pornography in the media, we'll demonstrate you at some point in the day. We're trying to get a slide and some of the clippings of the newspapers that really fit. Not only pornography, but child pornography and rape on it. So you get to know them. There's no simple abuses that is there. You know, you don't check other local newspapers on it. So it may be a first follow your side, but we definitely demonstrate to you what you do and shall do in that game. So thank you very much. We've done a move to the other now we'll just want to stretch. No, let's take 5 and then from there we can then, after some time, we can then stretch for 5 minutes and have coffee and coffee and interact with you and get you. Part of the conversation will take place during the and all that. Ongoing conversation. Not the one of conversation. So therefore, can I give them an opportunity to make a presentation?
Chairperson, Patrick Carter, honourable members, thank you very much for inviting us yesterday and for giving us this opportunity. We really appreciate the invitation, especially as it comes in the week book ended by Freedom Day on April the 27th and by World Press Freedom Day tomorrow, May the 3rd. In addition, Mr. Chalky, thanks for your opening words and especially for telling us that freedom of expression and of the media is one that you're willing to die for. We certainly hope that we won't ever have to take you up on that. So we come in a very constructive spirit with the aim of reaching an agreement on the legislation under consideration. We'll admit to you that the draft work presented us with very many challenges for reasons which we'll outline hereunder. Senate has subsequently made many public presentations and held as many meetings as possible to make our concerns known. This opportunity to meet with Parliament is the most important for us because it presents us with the opportunity to speak to our representatives, and this is of course the essence of democracy. Just to put you in our picture, we've held 2 meetings, the first with the GPIS and with the Deputy Minister of Home Affairs, Mr. Malusi Idaba. The second with the Minister and the Presidency, Esther Fahad, and with the Home Affairs Minister, will give us a practical journalist understanding of how the bill will impact on his work. So will Jay Davis of Texas, while my colleague in Senate and also the chairperson of the African Editors Forum, Mr. Matata Tedu, will speak about the role of the media on our continent and also suggest a way forward on the bill. So I was hoping that you would imagine with me that you woke up today with no news of yesterday. No news about the May Day marches, no news about the protests of yesterday, no news of the wars in Afghanistan and the bombs in Iraq. Imagine that you had woken up last month to no news of the sad end of young Shelby Human and also Kairanisa Ganshi, no news of the scourge of baby rape that has come to our attention in this province, no news of the unfolding drama of the Dina Rodriguez case, no debate about that song De La Rey, or even that other song Ushini Wong. News, no matter that we may often disagree with its message, is crucial for your daily life and to ours. It provides us with the information we need to take decisions. It informs us of success in the democratic content of public life and also occasionally of the gap therein. Free media is a lodestar of finer democracy, and across our continent, the democratizing wave has been accompanied by vibrant and independent media. We may not often agree, but we in the media, like you in Parliament, are cornerstones of democracy. Do we always serve with distinction? Sometimes we slip, as do you, but on the whole, the media in South Africa has played and continues to play an important role in our 13-year-old democracy. It is a well-trusted institution, as the Media Center survey revealed recently, and most South Africans do believe what they read in the newspapers, very honestly. What does this have to do with the legislation under consideration? Taken to its extreme and interpreted illiberally, the legislation could have the impact of staunching the flow of news. How could it do so? Crucially, the legislation removes a key exemption of the mass media. It does this by proposing that Section 22(3) of the Film and Publications Act be repealed. This decades-old exemption is part of our contract with society. It gives practical effect to media freedom by exempting us from the conditions of the Film and Publications Act. It entrusts us to abide by our code of ethics, and it further entrusts that our systems of self-regulation will keep us in step. Is this trust stewarded well? I would say that in the main, yes. Does our system of self-regulation work? I would say that on the whole, it does. We're kept on our toes by both the offices of the Press Ombudsman and of the Broadcasting Complaints Commission of South Africa. In addition, there's the remedy of defamation available to those aggrieved. Can we do better? Of course, we always can. And SANAS, together with the Print Media of South Africa Association, is engaged in the process of significantly overhauling the Office of the Press Ombudsman and introducing a Press Council to make more muscular and robust our self-regulatory systems. This we have done as a direct result of knowing that you are unhappy with parts of our self-regulation. But by removing the exemption, the system of self-regulation will be moved. We will not
to our radio operations. Nowadays, far more people get their daily ration of news from hearing or seeing it rather than by reading it. Apologies to my friend colleagues. Technological advancements also brought together in processing and presentation of news in extremely high precision, both speed and sophistication. Now, the strength of radio lies in its immediacy. It's about constantly updating stories, keeping them fresh, telling people what is happening now, what happened 5 minutes ago, what is likely to happen in the next 5 minutes. Nowhere is news more immediate than in broadcasting. For broadcast journalists, what happened yesterday is largely past. With hourly news bulletins, even what went on air at 10 o'clock will have to be updated for the new bulletin. News is about change. It's about events to shape our society. It's about events that alter the way we think about things. People. We deal in up-to-the-minute information. Now, with a 24-hour news operation, you have shifts that run throughout the day and the night. You have the first shift starting around about 5 o'clock, with people carrying all the way through until 5 a.m. the next morning when there's a handover. But there's also radio reporting that is gathering the facts. You've got people on the ground collecting sound, known as actuality. Journalists are working to the very next bulletin deadline. That could be about 60 minutes to prepare for the next report. You might be at an event, you would stay there the entire day, you would be feeding radio reports down the phone line to the news desk, hopefully taken up, recorded, and prepared to go out on air. I'm giving you this description because I believe it's important to have a sense of how the operation works behind the scenes. In order to see what the impact of this intended legislation would be on such a new operation. Our difficulty with having to submit material for classification lies in the very nature of the way we record and the way we broadcast news. Neither of us can commodity, and it doesn't need to be fresh, it can also go stale. Its value of currency and our currency depends on just how hard you can preserve the chicken back to the rural comfort. Now, it's not care of the transmission committee for getting working around the clock as we do. It's a story raised late at night or in the early hours of the morning. Will the transportation committee be ready and willing to convene and to review the material if they are and they do? How long will it take for them to be done? They book it and clear how the water is coped with the large volume of material that's likely to receive for classification. This is not mentioned breaking news, which is a story that's happening right now and unfolds as we speak.
I'm all right by the concern about my spaces. I hope I will not be a question. I'm a member of the Council of African National Ladies Sport. I'm also sure that the concern is on the same line, talk about our work and the concern and the difference that in Africa and of several that we can do in our daily work and how we can help change and shape world opinion around Africa. In line with all of that, we've been having a meeting with the chairperson of the AU Commission across our country around the enforcement of the protocol that the AU has adopted, which many countries have signed up to but not do much. And in line with that, in July, we are presently in discussions with the President of Ghana and Professor Modani to host the first dialogue between African and Central African leaders in Accra in July when the summit takes place. In another week or so, there is a meeting of the Commission on Human and Civil Society, meeting also in Accra to deliberate on issues of freedom of expression. All of this say that Africa as a continent is looking towards openness and not closure. We sit here today in a kind of dilemma where the sections that are being closed here by the government actually move in the opposite direction of what we're trying to achieve throughout the continent. In previous meetings and engagements and discussions around this matter, we've been challenged about the effectiveness of our schools. The pace of complaints to both the BCPMA as well as to the persons subject to the public has sucked in the system. And the complaints that have brought there are in the meantime. Our broadcasting colleagues will expand on the BCPMA, but as my leader, chairperson of my panel, has already indicated, we are in the process of improving the transformation of the system. And this is really in line with, at all times, rising to the challenges that arise in this dynamic environment of the region. In addition, in summit, we are engaged in debate around our work and how it impacts on the broader public. As with the African Theatre of Human Rights, our theatre system is new and finding its way, but it is not a new
I'll just Yeah, no, I'm very interested, but the development of this culture, which is what we call it, your chapter, which we have done, it's a drive, I would just say. And I don't see you sort of addressing that particular part. Because in other, you know, Jewish media, in the own, I mean, there's no politician that's not a religion, but there's a politician in the public. Everybody will be in the public. Privacy exercise, I say, she would believe in what they want. The standard thing is broken. You must use it as a very important element. You now are adopting this issue of sensationalizing the business. You know, this is a very issue. I'll just give one example of one local service issue on the Amazon regulation, AD1. So that's a life of a guy, one of the issues that was signed to the legal and then had to be a daily sack. That's something like that. Another thing could do a daily sack, but the daily sack people would be a girl taking together to apologize. So I apologize, but this time I don't have to speak. How do they address that? You know, let me demonstrate one of the papers that sometimes they from the daily ones, where children were put in some kind of a drug in sanitation. And these young children were raised by these people driving them. Now, the whole gospel was sold on the first page of the newspaper. When the children were raised. That should be something. The children be raised. Right? And this thing by which we could do that, that applies to about 1 month or something like that, but there are no children. And it's different to that by the children of the same group. You know, we used to say we were for the wedding, some of us when we grew up in Sunday, the wedding. This newspaper that I'm thinking about, I know that we are not speaking about the newspaper, we come to myself. We come to the point of cell phones, distribution of the number, which television advertises the number, 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 the in my engagement with this forum where they involved the government, they continue to tell that the children of Corona are being